It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is The Inner Life on Irrelevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction. And today we're going to talk about vocations. We all have one. It's all about God's plan in each one of our lives. Now, let's be honest. Family and friends don't always support us in what we believe is calling God is calling us to do. But God is calling or has called us to know Him, love Him, and serve Him. But how do we know what that is? How do we know if it's really God calling us into what we believe is, in fact, His plan for us? Because in the end, it's not about my plan for my life or my plan for your life. It's all about God's plan. And we're going to talk about that today. Here to help us on the journey, our spiritual director, back with us once again, Father Jeremy Plouffe. Father Jeremy is a priest in the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota, pastor of three parishes there in the diocese. Father Jeremy, great to have you back. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, Chuck. It's really good to be back. I hope you are staying healthy.
Doing my best. Doing my best, yeah.
Just hanging in there, doing what
they're asking us to do, praying a lot, too. But, yeah, no, doing well. And love talking about vocations. We're going to do that today with Father Jeremy Plouffe. And as we do every day, we'll invite you and our listening audience to join us on the program today as well. We'll do that here in just a moment. But, Father Jeremy, get us started talking about vocations and discerning vocations. So, very practically speaking, what is a vocation?
Right. You know, and I think we should say from the get-go, everybody has their vocation, especially from baptism, right at the end of Matthew's gospel, where Christ says in Matthew 28, go out to all the world and make disciples of all nations. And so we have to make sure that we don't pigeonhole or pocket off vocation to be, you know, that's what the nuns do and the monks and the priests as well. Of course, those are very important vocations for the church, but all of us, especially from our baptism, you know, are called. Our vocation, our calling is to go out to all the world and make disciples of everybody. And so from your baptism, it's we have to figure out in what way is Almighty God asking us to go and make disciples of all nations, first of all ourselves and then all of those around us. So a vocation is something much bigger than just a career, so it's much bigger even than just being a priest or a nun, although, again, I want to highlight and underscore those are very, very important vocations. But all of us, in whatever way that we're in the world, whatever job we have, whatever family life we have, our task, our vocation is to bring the world to be disciples of Christ in whatever way that we can, in whatever way that God is calling us to be, which will look vastly, vastly different. But what I really hope all of us can keep coming back to day in and day out is that great commission from Christ at the end of Matthew's gospel, go to all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's my job, that's your job, Chuck, and for all of us listening here today, you know, that's our job too, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations.
And Father Jeremy, as focused as that is, you know, our mission statement, our job, so to speak, how do we begin to understand how we're supposed to go into the world? You as a priest, me as a husband, father, and grandfather, but how do we begin to then understand or maybe discern what God is calling us to?
Yeah, that's a great point. So one of the things that's really providential about today, talking about vocations, is that it's the memorial of St. Martin of Tours today. And for those who might not know a whole lot about St. Martin, he grew up in a military family in the Roman Empire, and he himself became a military man. But through his experiences, since he was a Christian, and through the providential events that God put in front of him, he realized that he wasn't called to be in the military, that he was called to be something else. And one of those experiences, famously, was that when he was moving from one area to another, he encountered a poor person who didn't have enough clothes to keep warm. And that was a really seminal moment for St. Martin, where he said, I need to take care of the poor. That's part of his calling. And so with the events of our daily lives, you know, in God's providence, we can find, like, okay, what am I thinking about? What am I desiring to do? And in fact, several centuries after St. Martin, we have what's become now the classic definition of vocation. St. Anselm says that your vocation in life is where your deep gladness intersects with the world's deep need. And you see that with St. Martin centuries earlier, where St. Martin wanted to take care of the poor. He really felt like, I want to help the poor. And so that's how he discerned God was calling him, at least in some way. And so for all of us, too, it's we might have a passion for one way of life. We might have a passion for even a profession. Like maybe somebody just really, really loves how numbers line up and they feel called to be an accountant, for example. And so where your deep gladness is found, that's where we start to find our vocation, where the world's deep need.
Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director, talking about vocations today. And let's open up our phone lines, inviting you and our listening audience to join us on the program. It's a toll-free phone number, 888-914-9149. Don't forget, you can email us as well, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But as we talk about vocations and discerning vocations, God's plan in your life, when did you say yes to what you believed God was calling you to? And maybe right now you're discerning a vocation. If you want to talk about that, we invite you to join in the conversation today. Again, toll-free number, if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. I'm so taken, Father Jeremy, with this, what you just talked about this deep gladness intersects with the world's great need. And part of me, when I hear that, and I'm just thinking about myself, but probably many of us, many of our listeners today, we talk about the world's great need, and we're thinking about those poor people in South America, or the people we see pictures of maybe in Africa or whatever. But can you just make the point that this deep gladness intersects with the world's great need? Our world is right where we are, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Right. And again, we would be pigeonholing vocations if we said that vocations where the world's deep need is met is only for the poor people in some other area of the world, or even just the poor people in our own area. Because we could even think of mentoring people where you know, it's so important for a coach, for example, on a high school team to mentor the kids, not just to be good players or athletes at whatever their sport is, but to grow to become good young men and good young women as well. So the world's need is not simply financial poverty or poverty of food. The world's deep need is all over the place, because if we have people growing up who don't have mentors teaching us how to be good young men and good young women, you know, then we're going to have a whole another layer of poverty on us, where the poverty becomes we just don't know how to be virtuous in the world. And so you can think of maybe you had a really wonderful aunt, a really great coach, or maybe your grandfather was just really helping you on the right path when you were growing up. I mean, that's part of people's vocation, is to take your wisdom, which might have been hard-learned wisdom even, and imparting that to others, so that not only can they learn that Christ came and Christ will come again, but also in the meantime, while we're waiting for Christ to come again, how do I act as a strong, virtuous Christian and help others to do so as well?
Yeah. Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director. If you're just joining us on The Inner Life today, talking about vocations, phone lines are open. If you'd like to be on the program today with us, 888-914-9149, talking about discerning vocations and God's plan in your life. When did you say yes to what you believed God was calling to you? And maybe you're in the process of discerning that right now. But again, if you'd like to join us, toll-free number, 888-914-9149. I'm just so taken. I've tell this story too much, but forgive me for telling it again. Well, I mean, you know, I've been doing the program for 14 or 15 years. And so my journey out of a pretty successful career in television news, with four small children, my wife Judy and I discerned and prayed and really decided that there was something else to do with my gifts and talents, with our gifts and talents, specifically for the church, and so really left with no other job. But I got to tell you, when Father Jeremy, when you talk about the deep gladness intersects with the world's great need, as difficult as that decision was, there was a peace in our life. Again, no other job, just new, really trusting, you know, being called out into something different, whatever that was. But just talk a little bit about God's providence, because it was the initial yes and the initial step away from, again, a career in television news. I mean, I never could have predicted in my wildest dreams that I would be a show host on a nationwide Catholic radio network. But, well, but and the point is God's providence. When we say yes, gosh, does he keep leading us?
Absolutely. And there's something to be said about that, exactly where it's like you can't quite put your finger on it. But when you head in the right direction, there is that great sense of peace. You know, and I think one of my favorite lines from Mass, and every single daily Mass, Sunday Mass, and big feast day, is at the end of Lamb of God when we say, "Grant us peace." And if we follow divine providence for our life, there will be, and no matter how stressful it might be with kids and grandkids like you, Chuck, or how difficult times might be with all the things that go on in every single parish for me, there is a great sense of peace when it's like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And there's even like a greater strength that comes from it, where people might tell you or tell me, like, "I don't know how you do it. I just don't know how you could possibly do it." And there is a great peace when we're heading in the right direction, I think. And when you dig into that thing that you can't quite put your finger on, like, you know, maybe there's something in this direction. For you, Chuck, I think it's such a great story of your storied career in broadcasting, of how, you know, maybe even just heading in this other direction a little bit, this might have been what you were looking for all the time, even though you wouldn't have been able to put your finger on it until it actually happened. And for us too, it's that looking and that seeking and that looking hard to find why is it that peace just isn't quite in my life at this point. And I'm certain, hopefully, we'll get a chance for me to tell a bit about my story as well. And that's a big part of my story as well. Is like, oh, what when you find like this is where God has been calling you all the time, there's a piece that you didn't even know was missing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to ask you about that, by the way. Just so get your notes out. Anyway, we are talking today about vocations and God's plan in your life. When did you say yes to really what you believed God was calling you to? And maybe you're discerning something right now, some vocation. We invite you to join in the conversation. Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director. If you'd like to join us, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. We'll ask Father Jeremy about his call to the priesthood when we come back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, "10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
The Relevant Radio Studio Line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life Spiritual Directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Father Jeremy Plouffe, our spiritual director on the program today. Father Jeremy becoming one of our regular contributors, a priest in the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota, talking today about vocations and discerning vocations. Phone lines are open if you'd like to join in the discussion today. Toll-free number 888-914-9149. Don't forget you can email us as well, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But as we talk about vocations, God's plan in your life, when did you say yes to really what you believed God was calling you to? And maybe you're doing some discernment right now. If you want to talk about that, we invite you to join us on the program today. Again, toll-free number 888-914-9149. Just real quick, Wednesday of the week after Pledge Drive, if you haven't heard, it was an incredible outpouring of generosity and support from you and our listening audience. Last week, we tell you very practically to stay on the air. We have a need 4 times a year of $2.7 million. And we have crossed the $2.9 million mark. Thank you from all of us at Relevant Radio. We cannot do this without you. And so truly a heartfelt thank you for your generosity and your support. By the way, not too late to make a contribution. If you'd like to join in that, you can do that on the website, relevantradio.com. Also on the Relevant Radio app, and you can call this phone number, 877-291-0123. Father Jeremy Plouffe, talking about vocations. So tell us about your call to the priesthood. What happened?
Well, sure, thanks. For any vocation, whatever it might be, even a vocation to being single, it's important that it starts with practicing the faith. If we don't have the grace of the sacraments, I mean, we're really just going to be wandering around in the dark valley, as it were. I have to give a lot of credit to my upbringing of we went to Mass on Sunday. You know, we went to Mass for Immaculate Conception. We went to Mass and during Holy Week for Thursday. And so that was a huge part of just laying the foundation, creating a firm foundation of I was not just practically familiar with the Church of like, okay, here's what happens during Holy Week or here's what happens in the days leading up to Christmas. Those are practical things, but more to the point, it was you know, having grace just part of that. And I'll admit, as I'm sure both of my parents will love to tell you, Chuck, of it wasn't always easy getting young Jeremy to Mass. There was many days where Sunday morning was just a little too early to get up, or during Holy Week when I would whine about, why do we have to go to the church three times in 1 week? Come on, Mom and Dad. So I'll admit I wasn't a perfect kid growing up, but I remember one of the seminal moments was it's a little hard to talk about only because I don't want to put blame on anybody, but there was a Christmas homily. It was Christmas of one particular year when I was growing up where we went to the early Mass where the church is overcrowded, standing room only kind of thing, packed to the brim. And so the priest at this particular parish decided to have a very, very short homily for this early Mass on Christmas Eve. And the homily, as I recall, was barely over 60 seconds, just a hair over 1 minute. And I remember thinking, and even perhaps whispering out loud, well, I can do better than that, which is quite an arrogant thing for a young person to say, I suppose. But that I remember that. I was just like, well, this is your opportunity. You missed out on a great homily for Christmas, but I think even more to the point, when I was in high school, I remember our home parish started to make a bigger deal about we're going to have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And I just remember, like, oh, this is important. I don't know why it's important, but I've been told it is. And then even when I went into college, I went to a Catholic university, and there was Adoration at certain times on campus. And I remember thinking even then, you know, I don't know why this is important, but I'm told it is. And so I would go, and sometimes even just on my own, and just inexplicably even drawn to, I'm just going to go to the chapel where the Blessed Sacrament is available and just sit there. Just sit there. I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to do. I'm not sure why I'm supposed to think this is important, but it was almost magnetic, that draw to it. And it was kind of, as you were saying earlier, Chuck, about a piece that you didn't know was missing even. It was more and more it started to occur to me as I continued to come to adoration, as I kept going to Sunday Mass, like, oh, it's becoming more and more clear I'm supposed to at least give seminary a try. Because it was when I was doing things related to what a priest might be expected to do that I would get excited. I would get excited for that. And it was even hard to admit at the time. And that's what, looking back, it might have been obvious, but at the time it didn't seem so obvious of looking at what in God's providence was happening. The friends I had, especially, would even have been able to tell you, like, yes, you know, you need to at least give the seminary a try. It's obvious to us. Why isn't it obvious to you? And that's still something of a mystery to me, of how even friends that I had would say, this is so obvious, you're supposed to try seminary. So through all of these baby steps, it became clear that I need to apply to the local diocese and ask them to let me have a try at seminary to see if that's in fact what God's design was.
Yeah. And then was there a point, Father Jeremy, when you knew? When you, yes, this is where God is calling me. Yes, this is what I think I'm being called to do, and keep taking those baby steps, which now maybe became a little bit bigger than a baby step.
Absolutely. In fact, it didn't take long after being on campus at the seminary. So when I actually started in seminary, you know, the first couple of weeks might have been rocky. Of, you know, some people knew a whole lot more about the faith already than I did. Some people seemed to be miles ahead of me in spirituality. And so there was a time, even starting seminary, that I thought, oh, golly, maybe this isn't for me. But the longer I was at seminary, and I'm not talking even years, but as the weeks rolled by, week one into week two and month one into month two, it just seemed more and more like this is exactly what I was supposed to be doing. And even all the more excited about just the practicals of not just in the classroom at the seminary, but now, okay, you need to go to the parish and learn from a priest who's actually at the parish and watch what he does. It was something that I just looked forward to time and time again, where there was, for me, there was no turning back.
Yeah. Tell us about your family. Were you supported in this in terms of your family? Did they say yes? The truth is, a lot of parents don't want their children to be priests, don't want their children to enter the religious life. And I've talked to good friends of mine. He's a priest, and he had a lot of support from his parents, but he was also vocations director. And he would say very openly that the biggest obstacle so many times is mom and dad saying, that's not my plan for you, and I'm not going to support you in this.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And I certainly had classmates and friends at seminary who were in that camp of their parents were not pleased about this at all, and to varying degrees. Some were quite opposed to it, and some were just rather apprehensive of, you know, shoot, we were expecting grandchildren, or, you know, we were expecting you to join the family business, perhaps. And even as a priest in my own diocese, when I've been working with people, sometimes that's been the reaction, too, of, I think you should at least give seminary a try, but the family wasn't supportive. For my own self, though, Chuck, I'm very pleased to be able to tell you that my parents were very happy to support this vocation, and they probably would have, I think they, it's safe to say, they were in that camp of my group of collegiate friends who were just saying, this is so obvious to us, why isn't it obvious to you? I think especially my mother would have been able to say, years before I applied to the diocese asking to be a seminarian, that she would have been like, come on, this is so obvious to me. So I'm very pleased to say that from step one, all the way through ordination day. They were very pleased to be supportive, and it's important that we support parents who have young men or who might be seminarians or young women who might become nuns to various degrees. Of like, you know, congratulating them on this chance to see if that's their child's vocation.
Yeah. Father Jeremy Plouffe, our spiritual director, talking about vocations today. Let's get to some phone calls, and let's start with Katie listening in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Hi, Katie. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the program today.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I guess I'm calling to share, it's not a religious vocation story. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but the Holy Spirit was knocking on my heart to call in. So my story is one of basically, I'm a physician assistant by training. I worked in mostly oncology disciplines for almost a decade. And then I loved my job. And then I was called out. Sorry, my one-year-old is screaming in the background. I was called out suddenly by illness when I came ill with meningitis about 5 years ago. And then I fought for, oh gosh, it was a long recovery. And about 2.5 years later, I was blessed with the opportunity. I felt clearly the Lord was calling me back to work as a PA. And it's a beautiful story of how he just mercifully opened door after door, calling me back into practice. And it was going beautifully. I was working part-time in truly an ideal work-life balance situation. Everything I had prayed for as for what the doctors were saying with, you know, if you're going to go back to work, this is the kind of job that I would look for. And I thought, that's crazy. It'll never happen. And my goodness, it just came out of the heavens on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. I was able to find that job opportunity. But I'm sorry, my child is yelling at me
great.
Here. But,
yeah, Katie, we love having children on the show, so it's not a problem.
Okay, good. But the interesting thing is that when I was about 6 to 7 months into this job that was going so well and I felt so clearly called to by the Lord, all of a sudden I started getting very strong messaging in my prayer life and all around me. When I'd be at Mass, through the readings, when I'd spend time in adoration, even on the radio and listening to your show, to be frank, and other shows on Relevant Radio, that where God was calling me to courageously lay it down. Do you trust me? Do you want to do something beautiful for God? I have another plan in store for you. And it got so clear, and I talked to my husband about it, and I'm like, this sounds crazy. I mean, on the other side of illness, we were expecting our third child, and I didn't know how my body after illness was going to respond to that, and I just got back to work. Why would I lay it down after fighting so hard to get back to it? Yet it was so certain, and it was in a moment in adoration where I literally went before the Lord. I'm like, God, if this is you, I need you to be clear. And I felt on my heart, not in an audible voice, but get out of the boat. And I just immediately imagined that image of Jesus calling me out onto uncertain waters. And I said, okay, Lord. And I put in my notice, and my supervisor was like, what? What are you doing? And I said, I don't know. I just can't explain it. I feel God has another call for me. And all I can say is on the other end of that, God has slowly unpacked this beautiful calling using my love for healthcare, using my healthcare provider identity turned patient. He broke divine mercy into my life and he put a call on my heart to be his PA. He's like, you know, Katie, you are not done being a PA. You are my PA now. I am your divine physician. Yes, I am continually healing you with divine mercy, but divine mercy is both your medicine and your calling. Come and work in the hospital of my church metaphorically, as it is played out in your daily life, and just be an open vessel to radiate that life, that light forth to others in a time of darkness, like you were so once crushed underneath the darkness of the cross. And so I can't describe it, but things in my daily life was slowly, people who have been going through horrible trials would just happenstance into my daily life. And all of a sudden, this call to pray, or this call to be available, or to witness, or to listen, to love, to sit at Mass with them, whatever it is, time after time have come to be. And then out of nowhere, he called me to literally just start online, just blogging about it, and then praying with people live on the internet in the chaplet. I mean, I never, ever in a million years thought that this would be my life. I never, ever thought it. And yet what God is doing, I cannot question, because it has been so incredibly beautiful. And I truly believe that he's not done. I don't know where he's going with it. But I know that if I didn't say yes in that crazy act of radical surrender to that call that I wouldn't be doing what I truly believe I'm called to do. And so I just keep praying for the grace to keep following his leading light.
Katie, that's a really, really well articulated series of events. And I mean, I could feel myself getting more excited as you were about to say, and what happened next? It was like a page-turner novel. I'm curious, Katie, are you familiar with how Pope Francis has described the church as a field hospital?
I've seen a couple quotes here and there, and I'll tell you that I believe the Holy Spirit was working through my life with the witness of the saints, with little excerpts like that to help guide me to say, you know, and I chuckle because St. Peter, the analogy, how he called him to be a fisherman, called him to be a fisher of men. Like when the Lord started calling me to work metaphorically in the hospital of his church in my daily life, calling me like his PA, like in my heart's prayer, that he was my divine position. I'm like, Lord, you are so funny. Like you flipped the script just like you did on St. Peter's life. Like you're doing it to me, you know? And I just love the tenderness, and I love that you can feel the excitement and the joy, because I loved what I did before. But as my husband says, I have never seen you more on fire and more in love and more just alive than what has transpired over the last couple of years. And I can't tell people enough.
Thank you. And I think that's a beautiful sign, too, of divine providence on so many levels of what you were doing. And what God allowed to happen with the illness, and then how, goodness sakes, a greater good even came out of that. And I think of how Christ offering himself on the cross, even with the greatness of what he was able to offer because of his humanity and not just his divinity. And I think with your ability to offer so much about, you know, maybe people who might be ill or people who might be going through all sorts of suffering, I mean, in a twofold way, not only because of your medical training, but because of your own illness, you can relate and you can build up and you know what it takes to help these people through prayer and just that journeying with them. I think that's something really, really incredible, and I think that's a great, great vocation story. So don't sell yourself short on that vocation story.
Yeah. Katie, yeah, great story. Thanks for joining us on the program today, sharing that with all of us. You know, Father Jeremy, I listened to this really incredible story. I'm so taken when she talked about courageously laying down what she was doing and that radical surrender. I'm so taken, even in my own journey of faith, and we certainly hear it in Katie's story. Sometimes we're following God and it just doesn't make one lick of sense in terms of what we're doing. But that radical surrender, the courage it takes to do that, God always has the best plan, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And I think with that on fire and having Katie's husband say, like, I've never seen you happier. I've never seen you more on fire for the faith and in the church. I mean, these are great benchmarks, good milestones of we're heading in the right direction. I mean, even though, you know, our emotions can get away from us sometimes, you know, our feelings don't match, you know, what we're doing right. Sometimes they do, and that's wonderful. But when you have, comes from St. Luke's Gospel, I think it's St. Luke chapter 6, building a foundation on rock. I mean, I think that's what Katie was talking about. Of she never left the church, she never left the faith, she never despaired, even though she might have had to leave her job and she had the pain and suffering of an illness. You know, let's stick with the holy faith. It gets us through these tough times. It's not something to let go of during the tough times, and yeah, even bigger good came out of it. I like how you put it, Chuck. I'm just enraptured by her story.
Yeah. Katie, God bless you. Tell that little one hello from us, for all of us at Relevant Radio. We appreciate you joining us on the program today. Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director, talking about discerning vocations. When did you say yes to what you believed God was calling to you? Maybe you're discerning right now. If you want to talk about that, we invite you to join us on the program. Toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We have more phone calls. Stay with us, everyone. When we will get to you on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
If you missed part of the program, you can listen to this show and any of your favorites on the Relevant Radio app or online at relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back. Thanks for joining us on the program today. I'm Chuck Neff, along with our producer Nick Schmitz, Jim Shaper answering your phone calls today. Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director. Father Jeremy is the pastor of three parishes in the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota. Talking about vocations today and discerning vocations. A little bit of time left if you'd like to join us. Toll-free phone number into the studio today, 888-914-9149. So let's head back to the phones. And Kristen, listening in Rockford, Illinois, thank you for waiting, and you're on the air.
Thank you. So my story, I am a revert to the Catholic faith, and I would say my faith journey probably really started when I was finally confirmed when I was 29. And so in reflecting, the word vocation, I don't even think was in my vocabulary until I started coming back into the church. I just don't even think, I was like, okay, cool. So I'm a stay-at-home mom to six kids, ages 11 to 4 months old. And as I've been reflecting on what my vocation is, I realized that when I was a child, as young as 5 years old, I would always say I wanted to be a mom when I grew up. And that, I think, is something that has always been on my heart from my youngest memories, my absolute youngest memories. And that is something that I continue to want. And more than that, I always had on my heart that I wanted at least six children. And I think the world being what it is today, I always felt that, well, just being a mom was never going to be good enough. So eventually when I got older, I started thinking about career paths, and I had it put on my heart that I wanted to be a teacher. And for whatever reasons the Lord had, I, you know, in my journey trying to become a teacher, it never happened. I never ended up finishing school. I instead got married and started having my family. And after baby number three, or right before she came, I decided to stay home. And I thought, okay, well, this is it. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and that's where it is. And then 2020 has come into our lives, and COVID hit, and sure, my oldest kids were home from school. And I had previously, up until this point, been ardently against homeschooling. It was never going to happen. Not a chance. Wasn't going to happen. And around April of this year, I felt the Holy Spirit working on my heart. And even in hindsight now, I see little mile markers over the last couple of years of where the Holy Spirit was really working on my heart to soften it towards the idea of homeschooling. And so around April, I felt the Lord calling me to homeschool our children. And I took it to adoration, and I was like, really, Lord, this is where we're going with this? I'm going to homeschool six kids. I don't have the patience. I don't have the discipline. I never got that teaching degree I thought you wanted me to get. But really, the Lord really convicted me that, yes, this is what I'm calling you to. And so now we are 2 months in to our homeschooling adventure, and I have felt such a peace come over me that it just feels like a fulfillment of what the Lord has been putting on my heart and in my life for my entire life, through wanting to be a mom, through wanting to be a teacher. And now I get to do both and be the teacher to my children in all things, but most importantly in our faith, and really getting to take that hands-on role in forming my six children in our beautiful Catholic faith.
Kristen, that's outstanding. I mean, my heart beat a little bit faster, I think, when you said you took it to adoration and you felt convicted of like exactly the firm foundation of the sacraments and grace from the sacraments. It just provides so much more clarity, and then just the divine providence, as you said, of I wanted to be a mom from when I was young. The world as it is, I thought I needed a career, maybe a teacher, and here's how it's all coming together. I mean, it's very exciting, and congratulations to you and your husband on having a large family. That's really a wonderful thing. So I think it's beautiful that you're a revert. I think that's wonderful, and I think just the direction of your story, golly, that's it's touching. It's really, really touching, and so I hope all sorts of people out there can hear that with when this stirring happened in you, you took it to adoration. You took it to the faith to see, is this what it's supposed to be? And it sounds like it's turning out beautifully. So congratulations and good luck with homeschooling. I'm sure that's not easy, but it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, Kristen, just a great story. Thanks for sharing it with us today. And I think, Father Jeremy, she brings up such a good point, being a stay-at-home mom, because I think the reality is that, when we go meet people for the first time, we say, what do you do? And I think sometimes we identify ourselves with what we do rather than who we are. So, I'm a journalist, I'm a broadcaster, but you know what? I'm a child of God. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, and that's what we're talking about today in terms of the vocation to be who God is calling us to be as one of his children, to answer and give our yes to that great commission.
Absolutely, that yes, and it's you're 100% right. It's not who we are, or excuse me, I apologize. It's not what we do. What's your job? What do you use to make money, or how can I quickly pocket you into some sort of clear category? I think Kristen's vocation breaks that really easily to say, like, look, there's more than a job, and a vocation is something much bigger than that, especially when she said she felt called from a young age to be a mother. I think that's really, really touching.
Well, and I think the world would say, a stay-at-home mom, that's all you can do. And say you don't want to go out and have a career and make a lot of money. What an incredible calling to embrace that stay-at-home mom. That's just beautiful, isn't it?
100%. And I know people just from my years as a priest, if nothing else, who do much more than I could possibly imagine doing as a stay-at-home mom or as a full-time mom, however you want to say it. I think that there's some of the bravest people and some of the hardest workers I've ever met.
Yeah. Kristen, God bless you. Keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us on The Inner Life today. Father Jeremy Plouffe, our spiritual director, talking about vocations. Let's head out to California. Ann is listening there. Ann, I know you've been waiting a long time. Thanks for doing that. Welcome to the program today.
Okay. Well, I've kind of got another marriage vocation, which that's been all been so far, but it is a vocation. And I think back right now, I am so thankful to the good Lord and the divine mercy. I've really become more aware of Jesus and the divine mercy. But when I look back at our many, many years, and I mean many, many years, of an 18-year-old girl that wanted to get married, and she had a nice friend, and he was non-Catholic, but they seemed to agree on most things. He gave her an engagement ring on a Christmas Eve many, many, many years ago, and they were married. She was 19. He was 5 years older and a military man. Anyway, I have been so blessed. I've been a widow now for quite a number of years, but I've been blessed with six. I've lost one adult child. So right now we have five. I have five adult children, which I feel we have really been blessed because they're all over the country. They keep in touch with each other. Every Sunday night they get on this, I'm not even sure just what it is, it's Zoom or something on the internet, and they converse with the children, the grandchildren, even great-grandchildren. Anyway, I feel so blessed, and I was left financially okay. So I've been able to make donations to different places. And I just thank the good Lord for that and for the husband that he united me with. That this 18-year-old girl decided that they were to get married. Anyway, I've been able financially to help places. I made donations. In fact, Father Jeremy, I'm helping out you may know of it, it's an Indian reservation in northern Minnesota. And
oh, nice.
I've been in touch with the priest there, that's the pastor. And anyway, I'm helping them out financially, what I can do. So anyway, I just...
That's beautiful. Well, thank you, Ann. And maybe Relevant Radio will make your list before the calendar year end as well. I think that's really exciting. And Ann, I just... Your years of wisdom in this vocation. And I love how the church... I bet you know this too, Ann, from Divine Mercy especially, that the church really sees the family as what's called the domestic church, right? In that core group of your family, your spouse, your kids, right? That's where we first learn the faith. We first learn to practice the faith. We learn to love the faith. And then, as we said at the top of the show, we can go out into the whole world and make disciples of all nations. And with your family being tight-knit, still being close to one another, hopefully it's still a big part. And even of those online meetings every Sunday night, hopefully prayer is the beginning and perhaps even the end of those meetings as well. I mean, that's really, really exciting to hear decades of wisdom in your vocation, because I'm sure that there were easy times and tough times, and we're very sorry to hear about one of your kids is deceased. Very sorry to hear about that. But through all these tough times, your vocation as a wife and then a mother and then a grandmother and a great-grandmother, I think this is where you've made a big difference in the world. And as we said also, St. Anselm, that would be exactly what he's talking about, where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need.
Yeah. And thanks for joining us on the program. My wife married a non-Catholic, too. It's worked out pretty good, I think. I think. But, Ann, great story. Good to have you on the program. And, you know, Father Jeremy, as we talk about vocation, somebody listening today, I'm sure, is saying, I'm not so sure I can hear God calling me anywhere. For somebody who maybe is wondering and maybe can't hear God calling that person, what would you say to that listener today?
Absolutely. I think that's a really great question. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that. Yeah, so, I mean, the classic story in the Bible is from 1 Kings, where there was the sound, the Lord was going to pass by, and there was the sound of the wind crushing the rocks. There was the sound of an earthquake. There was the sound of a burning fire, but the Lord was not in the wind or the falling rocks or the earthquake. The Lord was in the still, quiet sound. And so there's something to be said about, you know, we need to turn off the electronics and listen closely. It takes a lot of time maybe to just sit back, be quiet. In prayer, adoration is huge, where we can just listen and wait for the Lord to speak. And even if we don't get that finger coming down from the clouds pointing us in the right direction, I mean, that's why I think St. Anselm is also important, of like, let's be involved. Let's do something for the church. And I think, too, of what Katie was saying earlier when she called in about how, you know, things might not work out the way we planned, but when we're open to helping out at the parish, when we're open to whatever God wants us to do, when we have a life of prayer at night and at Mass and quiet times during the day where we ask God to give us direction, there will be these subtle moments that, as went from the Book of Kings, where it's like, wait for that still, quiet moment where God might give you a gentle nudge in the right direction. It's important to not get discouraged, because I certainly know lots of people who would say, like, well, I don't know for sure, so I'm just going to stand still. Like, well, use your talents and your gifts for the good of others, for the good of the church. And through divine providence, you'll get nudged. You'll get gently nudged. Yeah. And if we're patient, then we'll head in the right direction.
Yeah, that's, I think, again, adoration. We've heard that from several of our callers today. The importance of being in the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament in front of the tabernacle, if you don't have an adoration chapel in your parish or one close by, but just being able to take time and listen in the quiet. And I, you know, back to my call out of broadcasting, I remember it was an adoration at a Carmelite monastery, and being considered for a major promotion in my broadcasting career. Went in to pray about that, and that it was just as clear as it could be, Father, don't do it. And I went in the next day, took my name out of consideration for the promotion, and it would have been more money, more prestige, more everything the world said it was really good for you. But that was really kind of the beginning of really my journey out of broadcasting into what today has been a very long career in broadcasting
and
in the production business.
I'm sorry to interrupt there. Yeah,
no.
I think that was an excellent point. And where my mind goes when you say that, Chuck, is St. Paul, at the beginning of his letter to the Romans, says something that's exactly to what you were hearing for your call there. At Romans 1:16, St. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And while, you know, you could have gotten this promotion, as you say, you know, prestige and money and all sorts of things. It's like, well, is that where God wants you to be? And for someone it might be. And it's when you come back to that line of St. Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's our first milestone, our first marker of what's the right direction.
Yeah. Father Jeremy Plouffe, our spiritual director, wish we had more time. We do not. We can't get to the rest of our phone calls today. Father Jeremy, we need to wrap things up. We'd like to close with a final blessing for all of our listeners.
Absolutely. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for your life and ministry while you are here on earth. Help us in our time, in our life here, to know our vocation, to love you, to serve you, and to go out into all the world and tell the good news. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Jeremy Plouffe, great to have you on the program today. If you joined us late, go back and listen to this program. Great, great stories from our listeners today. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. We're celebrating Mass here in about 60 seconds. Stay tuned for that. Then don't forget, 12:30 Central, The Faith Explained with Cale Clark. We're back again tomorrow. We hope to see you then.